You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
What's up, everyone? I'm Chris Voss.
Yo, this is Grant Cardone.
What's up, guys? This is Ezra Firestone, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle, the podcast.
What's up, everyone? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. On this week's episode, we have Michelle Seiler Tucker finally back on here after so many tries. My fault. We were just talking about it before, Michelle. So sorry for all the rescheduling. I've been out of the country, but I'm back in the States and very happy to have you on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. And you know, I think we had to reschedule a couple of times too, so you can't take all the blame.
We finally made it happen. You're an extremely busy woman, so I appreciate your time. I love what you have going on with your business. I love your book. I saw everything related to it, ordered my copy, waiting for it to come in. But in the meantime, I would love for us to dive right in and talk about the road to exit rich, talk about your book, and talk about what you do in general.
Sure, I'd love to. So I've been in this industry for about 22 years. And before I did M&A, I specialized in franchise sales, franchise consulting, and franchise development.
Mergers and acquisitions for y'all who don't know what that means.
And so I've been in this industry about 22 years. I learned a long time ago, if I don't fix the businesses before I put them on the market, then I'm going to starve to death. Because Steve Forbes says 80% of businesses on the market will never sell. M&A Source says 90% will never sell. So what does that mean for you listeners, for you business owners? That means you have less than a 10 to 20% chance of success when you go to sell your business. And you have even a lesser percent chance of success when you go to exit rich and sell for your desired price tag, because most business owners are exiting poor. They're selling for pennies on the dollar. They're closing their business, or even worse, filing bankruptcy. So Exit Rich was written. It's my third book. You know, I wrote it back in 2019, but of course we had to pivot because of this pandemic that we've all been in. But Exit Rich was really written not just to sell your business. It was written to educate business owners that you have to build, you have to think about the end game. You have to plan, you know, like Stephen Covey always says, start with the end in mind. So you got to plan your exit from the beginning. And right. So we call this a GPS exit model. Plus, you need to build your business on what we call the proper infrastructure using the six P's. Your business, like your car, needs to run on all six cylinders. Otherwise, it's going to run sluggish. It's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to be sellable. It's not going to be sellable. So that's what Exit Rich is all about, building sustainable, scalable, and when you're ready, a sellable asset. And so it is a Wall Street Journal USA Today bestseller endorsed by Steve Forbes.
Excuse me.
Well, and the forewords written by Anything Kevin Boynton from Shark Tank and Sharon Lecter from Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. She was my co-author, and Dan.
Oh, man. Hey, but that just goes to show, right? You put in good work, you know, people recognize your hard work. They like to collaborate, they like to partner, and you're able to put out products like this. This is amazing. You said this was 25 years of your career?
No, I've been doing this 22 years.
22 years. So you've pretty much compiled your 22 years of experience so far and put it into this book to help people currently running a business not only maybe prepare to exit that business, but even if they are not looking to exit, to prepare the business to operate efficiently anyway so it could operate without them even though they may not be selling it.
Yeah. Is that right? Yes, but here's the deal. You always want to prepare your business to sell because you never know what's in store. I had a lady call me up from Dallas, and her husband dropped dead of a heart attack at the age of 42. Right. Left her with a mountain of debt. She's in her 30s. She knew nothing about the financials. She knew nothing about the business. And she asked me if I could sell the company for her. And I started asking a few questions. You know, how many employees does he have? None. How many 1099s? It's all subcontractors. You know, where's the processes? Oh, he doesn't have any. Everything was in his head. So he didn't have a business that actually worked for him. He had a glorified job. And that's what most entrepreneurs do is we go out, they go out and create a glorified job versus that they go to work at every day and work in every day versus a business that actually works for them. When That's he right. died, the business died. So there was nothing to sell. You don't want to get in that position. You don't want to leave your loved ones with nothing. You don't want to leave them with a mountain of debt. You want to make sure you set up your loved ones for success. And you should always build it to sell because you never know, like I said, what's going to happen. I had another seller diagnosed with prostate cancer, you know, given a very short period of time to live. We don't know what's in store for us. And your business is your most valuable asset. You need to plan for your most valuable asset. You have a baby on the way. I guarantee y'all, you're going to plan on where that baby sleeps, what that baby eats, where that baby's going to go to school, you know, where it's going to go to pre-K, who's your nanny, or if you're got to stay, if your mom's, your wife is going to be a stay-at-home mom, you know, you're going to plan on what preschool, what elementary school, what junior high, what high school, what college, sometimes who they're going to marry. And so we take our most valuable asset, which is our business, and we don't plan for our business. And that's why 70% of businesses that have been in business for 10 years or longer, and this is out of 26 million companies, they're dropping like flies. They're going out of business because of lack of aim, lack of innovation, lack of marketing, and lack of planning their business for the future. Business doesn't stay the same. The market doesn't stay the same. You're either growing or dying. There's no in between.
Right. So your specialty is to team up with business owners, scaling their business, preparing them for a potential exit, and pretty much handholding them through that whole process. Does your book, do you usually give your clients and or partners, however you may refer to them, your book and your systems to read and go through before you guys even begin any type of work?
You know, that's a good question. So we have a couple of different methods. You know, we sell businesses that are ready to sell. We have a Road to Exit Rich program, which we do require them to read the book first. Mm-hmm. And that's a month-to-month program to get their business ready and to bridge that valuation gap. Because right. business owners, well, you know, every business owner thinks their baby is the prettiest. Just like parents think their kid is the prettiest. Right. But guess what?
It ain't always so pretty.
It ain't always so pretty. And it's my job to tell your baby's not as pretty as you think it is. And it's nowhere close worth to what you think you want to get out of it. Because business owners will call me and say, oh, I want $20 million. And they have an EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, of maybe $100,000. You're never going to get a $20 million valuation from $100,000 EBITDA. But then I start asking them, well, how'd you come up with $20 million? Oh, well, that's what I need to live on for the next, you know, 30, 40 years. I have 5 girls, weddings. Are you having a boy or a girl?
And I don't know yet. I'm finding out in about 2-3 weeks.
I save your money if it's a girl. You know, I have 5 girls, weddings.
Save other way.
I got 5 girls I got put through college and pay for 5 weddings. You know, I got another business opportunity. Whatever it is that business owners are looking to plan, and I call it their beginning strategy. It takes money to fund that beginning strategy. So they base the value on what that beginning strategy is versus the real value of their company. And buyers don't give a you know what about what you need. Yeah, no. Buyers only care about what the value means to them.
Exactly. And what they need.
And what they need and what it's gonna and what that business is gonna bring them. How is that gonna improve their life? How is that gonna catapult their current business to the next level?
I guess people, and maybe speaking from experience, right? For me, running multiple businesses and having exited 2 businesses already, nothing major, but having done it, right? Mm-hmm. When you're so in it, I guess you're just trying to get through the day and trying to scale that. People just, I guess, put it on the back burner saying, that operating manual, I'll build it later. That tutorial, I'll build it later. Documenting those systems and processes, I'll do it next year and next year and next year. And before you know it, like you said, you have a glorified job. You know, the business is probably not making enough money. You're not making enough money and you're exhausted all the time trying to maintain something you can't even get out of because nobody even would want to take it off your hands.
Right, right. And, you know, it's counterproductive because when we decide as entrepreneurs we want to go into business for ourselves, why are we going into business? We're going in business for ourselves for financial freedom.
Right.
For a better quality of life. To spend more time with our family. I just talked to a business owner the other day. He's been in business, I don't remember, 15, 20 years. He said, Michelle, I haven't taken a vacation in 9 years. He's never made it to his kids' baseball game, soccer game, his bros gymnastics or plays. But he's made that decision because he's made the decision to work in it, not on it. And yes, we get inundated with the day to day, but that can change if you build your business with the proper infrastructure, what we call the six P's. And the first P in the six P's is people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't build a company, you build people, and people build the company.
And culture, yep.
Yeah. And, well, it's culture, but it's putting the right people in the right seat. It's asking the who question, who opens the door, who handles marketing, who handles quality control, manufacturing, distribution, legal, accounting, and the list goes on and on. The clue here is you should never be next to the who, because you want the business to run without you. And so many business owners do get stuck in that trap. Number one, it's control. Most business owners think, well, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. Number two, they're just so busy working in it that they don't have the time to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you really got to focus your strengths and hire your weaknesses. And you'll never grow unless you let go of the control. And so it all starts with people. If you don't have the right people in place, you're not going to get the processes. You're not going to get to building your proprietary synergies. You're not going to get to, you know, controlling cost and growing the business. There's so many things you'll never get to if you don't have the right people in the right seats.
Yeah. Also, like, I get to see a lot of businesses, given that I work in a digital marketing agency. I operate budgets for all types of businesses. And you'd be surprised how many people don't have sales systems, processes, customer journeys. They don't even have their names trademarked.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised because I've been dealing with that for 22 years. I've got a $55 million company we're selling right now, and they have 350 employees, and their processes are a disaster. So, no, that doesn't surprise me. We have a billion-dollar company we're getting ready to take to market, and they don't have a federal trademark. And then all their IP is in the same corporation. So it's just nothing surprises me anymore. What surprises me is when somebody has all their ducks in a row, and I have them.
You're like, where have you been my whole life? For real. So the first P is people. What's next?
Second P is product. So this is your product, your industry, your service. And you know, nothing lasts forever. Mm-hmm. Nothing lasts forever. Look at some of the biggest brands. Blockbuster. Where is it? Toys R Us. Where is it? Nothing lasts forever. So you have to ask yourself.
Sears. I drove by an empty plaza yesterday full of Sears signage, just completely gone.
Exactly. So you got to look at your product, your service, your industry, and ask yourself, do you have an Amazon and you're in your prime? Because you always want to sell when you're in your prime. Or do you have a Blockbuster and you're about to go out of business? And the number one reason why 70% of businesses are going out of business is lack of aim. Aim is always innovate and market. Business owners become complacent. They stop marketing. Consumers' buying habits change. Amazon was really instrumental in changing the way that we buy products.
Yeah.
And then this pandemic came along and was really instrumental in a way that we do everything now. So business owners have to adapt. They have to innovate. They have to market. They have to look at, oh gosh, I've been in business 25 years. My customers are aging out.
Right.
And
how do I talk to my new customers? I can't.
Yeah, but the way that you do business with baby boomers is not the same way you're going to attract the millennials or Gen X. It's not certainly not the way you're going to attract Gen Zs. So you really always have to constantly innovate and constant market. Right. You know, clients came to me during the pandemic, like, I got to cut costs. What should I cut? And I would go through their list and start cutting costs. And they always wanted to cut marketing. I'm like, no, you don't cut marketing. That's the last thing.
It's your insurance policy. Yeah.
I said, well, here's what you do. You go look at all your marketing channels and figure out what 80% is coming from 20% of those channels. Double down on those channels and get rid of the rest. That's what you do. And so product, it's always innovating. It's always marketing. But it's always asking yourself, what business are you in?
Right.
Like Amazon did this in the 80s. And they said, we're in the book fulfillment business. And then they said, what is our superpowers? What's our secret sauce? What do we do better than everybody else? And Amazon said, we do fulfillment better than everybody else. That's our superpower. Right. The next big question everybody should ask themselves coming out of this pandemic is, what business should I be in? And Amazon back in the 80s says, shit, we should be in a fulfillment business, fulfilling products for everybody all around the world. And that really catapulted Amazon to the very next level. And most business owners don't do that. They want to stay where they've always been. And things change. If you don't adapt, then you'll go out of business. Like the 70% of businesses are going out of business now. And the other most important thing is you have to have congruent revenue streams. You can't just have one way you get paid. That's why the restaurant hospitality industry was affected so much during this pandemic, because how do restaurants get paid? People come in and eat, or they take food to go, right? Where's their e-commerce business? Where's their private label secret sauces? Where's, you know, like Animal Legacy does a very good job of selling you everything. They'll sell you recipes. They'll sell you cookbooks. They'll sell you t-shirts and baseball caps and all this stuff and things for your home, things for your kitchen. So you got to have multiple congruent. They need to be congruent.
Right.
Streams of income. So when one fails, you've got backup plan for other ones.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
Definitely don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. For me on the agency side during the pandemic, it was crazy because a lot of our clients were restaurants and clubs. So you can imagine how that was. It was just an instant, like, turn off the switch. Everybody's closed. There's nothing. You can't market a club right now. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be ready for anything.
A nightclub. You're talking nightclubs, right?
Yeah, we're doing nightclubs, bars, restaurants.
We're in Miami, where every freaking nightclub is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, and we had a furniture manufacturing store that only sold furniture to hotels. Their business plummeted. You know,
oh my God.
We had a landscape company that was focused on commercial real estate and specifically restaurants, hospitality, hotels and things.
Right.
Their business went under. So you really have to diversify and make sure that you have multiple eggs in the basket. I mean, if you look at me, I have other companies and they're not all congruent. I own medical companies. I own a medical marketing company. I own graphics. I own this and that. They're not congruent, but guess what? They're all in business. I don't own real estate over here, no multifamily over here, and they're all business related. So if one industry is going down, the other industry is typically up. You know, one of our businesses was graphics for first responders. Well, our business really increased because we still need police cars. We still need ambulances and sheriffs.
Wraps?
Yeah, we do the vehicle wraps for first responders, police cars, ambulances, fire trucks. And the only thing that hurt our business during that time is the car industry, because they stopped making cars.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the shortage.
So there's a shortage of cars. So yeah, so when you're looking at your business, and sometimes you just got to throw that business plan out the window and start over. And you really got to look at, who's my customers? Am I diversified enough? What do my customers depend upon?
Yeah. What is the product market fit? Like,
yeah. Well, like first responders, they depend upon cars.
Yeah.
No cars, no business. You know? And so you really got to look at every aspect of that. And again, ask yourself, what business are you in? What's your superpower? What business should you be in? And how many times in many ways can you get paid?
And it's also, I think a big part of it too is also being in touch with world news and what's going on, because, you know, for a lot of these things, you may be able to anticipate some fluctuations or changes in the market or in people's purchasing behavior based on world events and things going on social media that people are engaging with on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah, I think you should always, you know, you all should read Wall Street Journal and Inc. and Roll News and everything that's happening in the world, but you can't let it consume you. A lot of business owners made really bad decisions.
They go down the rabbit hole.
They go down the rabbit hole. You know, the road is ending. You know, We're all over. And you just can't let it consume you. You got to make intelligent decisions based upon. And it's not even really facts because we can always say the news is right.
Who knows what's facts anymore, to be honest. Yeah, everything's all over the place.
True.
The only fact is that you got to wake up every day, have a positive attitude, work hard, don't screw people over, and just keep your business moving, keep helping your clients out, keep providing a good product or service that solves problems or, you know, create solutions for people.
But also don't hold on to things too long. You know, if you got to cut the cord, slow to hire, quick to fire.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to get rid of a difficult client, then you might have to get rid of a difficult client.
Yeah. That's very hard for some people. It was very hard for me before. It was hard for me before. It was one of the hardest things for me. Now I don't want to get rid of a client because if I do, it means that I just wasted a ton of time and learning and back and forth. But sometimes ripping off the band-aid is better. You know, you're making up, you know, you're taking a temporary loss, but you're clearing up space for something that could be a lot more lucrative for you and with less stress.
Well, I don't like firing. I don't really fire clients, you know, especially if they'll start listening. Like the biggest reason for me to ever fire a client is because they're not listening and they're going to kill the deal. I might have them take a hiatus, you know, let's take a break. And these are the things I want you to do some soul searching on. These are
put
the
them on timeout.
Yeah, put them in timeout is exactly what I do. I put my clients in timeout.
It's good to be able to regroup because when you find yourself back up against the wall, like with your business or in a specific industry, it allows you to really maybe rethink your product, service, your offer, because you may be stuck on doing, like you said before, doing things a certain way because that's how they've always worked. And maybe necessarily you don't want to put time into innovating, into marketing, right? Into what you mentioned, AIM.
Yeah, AIM.
But like you said, people's consumer behavior changes. 2020 showed us that. People started behaving completely differently online.
But Amazon showed us that before 2020 ever happened. But 2020 got Walmart and Target and, you know, all the other stores and, you know, vendors, retailers, et cetera, to kind of follow Amazon's suit because people weren't out there shopping. Like you said, people aren't going to restaurants. People aren't going to nightclubs.
Yeah.
You know? Nobody was really doing anything. And that's when you really had to make a shift in your business if you wanted to stay relevant, stay alive during a pandemic.
You know what's cool? To see how they were so prepared, like their infrastructure, they were just pumping. Like,
oh, Amazon?
Yeah, we're just pumping.
But I tell they haven't kept their brand promise. And yes, Jeff Bezos, you can give me a call if you like. But they haven't kept their brand promise because they're supposed to, you know, what happened to 2-day Prime? I'm on Prime. I order stuff. It's taken a week to 2 weeks and they had no explanation whatsoever.
That's happening to you right now or you're saying a prior?
This is happening to me right now.
Interesting. I've been experiencing some delays on certain products that I order at a higher frequency. So I figured it was just like some of them were bound to have issues.
No, I order maybe once every, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks and I order quite a bit at one time. And nothing is coming in on Prime. Nothing. Wow. And yeah, it used to be what I said, pick available date, pick available date, pick available date, because some products weren't available. Well, now it's just everything will be delivered in a week to 10 days.
Speaking of Amazon, is Exit Rich is on Amazon, correct?
Yes, of course. And I love Amazon, but Amazon needs to keep their brand promise, a 2-day Prime.
That's
another thing is brand promise, brand integrity.
Yeah, especially if you're a subscription client on Prime. You know, that's extremely valuable for them, especially if they want to exit rich. The multiples if I'm not mistaken, the multiples on subscription businesses are a lot higher than just general transactions.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right. And it's not just the multiples on subscription. It's the multiples on businesses that have a SaaS component too.
Mm.
So SaaS component, recurring revenue, all of those drive value.
Even if it's like, let's say it's a brick and mortar business where clients come in, let's say like it's a medical practice or it's a Cairo, they have their subscription model that too works.
Yeah, that too works, but it's not going to be as valuable as let's say a nutrition company or diet company that has a subscription model. Mm-hmm. It's online e-commerce or serving clients all over the world, or all over the United States. That's going to be a lot more valuable than one chiropractic location, you know. And for chiropractors, yes, subscription model is good. But, you know, what, how many clients do you really have paying you versus how much insurance are you doing? We have chiropractic clinics, so I can answer this really well.
Oh, versus, nice. Okay, okay, cool.
Versus how many people do you have on subscription model versus what's your AR? I mean, like some of my clinics have millions upon millions in receivables.
Right.
And if they typically collect 60, 70%, that's a huge number.
Right.
Yep. And if they have a reoccurring subscription model on top of that, that's even better. A lot of these chiropractic clinics say they have a subscription model, but it's not really a subscription. I mean, it is, but it's very small.
I see what you mean.
Also, marketing companies. You know, we have a marketing company that's got 2,000 clients on a subscription model.
It's a lot. That's a completely different model than my agency model. Yeah. I started off, like when I first started the agency, I started off saying like yes to everybody and just having a ton of clients. And then I slowly started phasing out towards only finding the right, like perfect client for me, right? The people that I know I could for sure help and I don't have to deal with 2,000 people, but rather 6 to 7. But there's no right or wrong answer there, right?
Sure, it's not going to drive value in your company. Buyers want to see a huge, like I'm working with a boat safety company right now, and we just implemented in our Road to Exit Rich program, we just implemented a subscription model, and they've got almost all their customers now on a subscription model, which completely changed the dynamics and the financials of the company.
Interesting. I just find what you do so interesting because most of the people that I talk about in businesses, consultants, you know, mentors, not many of them are thinking about exiting rich.
No, they're thinking about exiting poor. They're not thinking about exiting at all, which is why they're going to exit poor.
So what do you think about, like, what do you say to the people that are just like in love, married to their business? This is my life. There's no way I could survive without this. There's no way I could sell it. Like, what is your usual like objection handle for that?
I say, get a life. I say, get a life.
That's so, you're right though.
I mean, I do. I say, get a life because it's, you know, business owners will come to me all the time and say, It's my baby. And they got 3 small babies at home. I'm like, no, your babies are at home. Go home. Hug them, kiss them, love them. You know, you're neglecting them. You're pouring all of your attention in your business. Just because you give more to your business doesn't mean you're going to get more. Because you're working hard. You're not working smart. You're not strategizing. You're not planning. You're not bringing the right team in. You're not bringing people smarter than you in. So, get a life, people. You know, you can only run on this runway of craziness for so long. Look at my client. He's about to have a nervous breakdown and hasn't taken a vacation in 9 years.
Yeah, and time flies too. Time flies.
I mean, look, I stopped speaking on the speaking circuit because I didn't want to be an absentee mother. You know, I have an 11-year-old daughter and I just didn't want to be an absent mother. I didn't want to miss all those important steps. You know, business is supposed to give us flexibility and freedom. And what kind of entrepreneurial mother am I if I can't go to her plays, if I can't go to gymnastics meets, if I can't go to horseback riding? You know, what kind of mother am I? So I've never missed a day of school. I pushed back multi-million dollar closings so I could always bring her to her first day of school. You got to know your priorities. In the beginning, we're working our butts off because we are trying to create this business. But again, you're trying to build a business. You're not trying to build people that will help build the business with you and for you.
That's right. And also,
the mindset needs to change dramatically with entrepreneurs.
Not only that, but like your team, your immediate team, your core team, your executive team, that they think this way as well. So everybody's focused on working efficiently because that way everybody around you could have a better life in general. And if people are more organized or more calm, feel more effective, feel more productive, they're naturally going to work better for you, which is ultimately makes your company that more appealing to whoever might want to come in and acquire.
Exactly. 1,000%.
That goes back to the first P, people.
Yeah. People. So people, I can't stress this enough. If you don't have people, I always say, if you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. You have to have the right people in the right seats. A lot of times people, you know, I find that business owners have people, but they all have them in the wrong seats or force them into separate, you know, different positions that it's not their core competencies. And right. If you're not good at hiring people, if you're not good at recruiting, if you're not good at training and management leadership, then you need to get somebody that is a human resource right. manager, a COO. You need to get somebody that has those skills that you don't possess. And let's face it, a lot of business owners are not always the best leaders. They're not the best managers. They're not always the best recruiters. We're visionaries.
Yeah.
You know, and entrepreneurs need to stay in that visionary role and have integrators that will integrate their vision and lead on that entrepreneur's mission for each department in the company.
There's so many hard, like, you know, you mentioned before, working hard versus working smart. There's a lot of hard workers out there, meaning somebody that has their business, they have it up and running, it's making good money, they're providing for their family, they're providing for themselves, but ultimately the business is not efficient. Maybe they're affecting their health, their eating habits, their sleeping habits, compromising, like you said, time with their family.
Yeah. And vacations. Oh. I mean, you need a break. You know, we're not robots. You need a right. vacation.
But a lot of that also goes down to money management, right? Because if you are always working, producing and producing a ton of money, great. But you're mismanaging it. Now you're working extra hard to cover up for the fact that you're mismanaging your money. So you're just like going in loops and you're never exiting that hamster wheel.
I don't think it's just about mismanaging money. Most business owners don't even know what the money is. They don't even know what their numbers are. They don't know. You know, I got one client whose business was selling for about $50 million. And it's 50.
Okay.
And it's in the electrical space, and they have the highest. We haven't been able to sell it because the buyers don't agree with the profit margin. They're like, oh, no electrical company operates in this profit margin. None of them do. And so I asked my seller, you know, how are you able to operate such a tight profit margin? He goes, I don't know. I just do. And I go, that answer's not going to work. He goes, well, Michelle,
it's work for the buyer.
And he said, Michelle, I charge higher prices and I manage my cost. You know, now I truly believe his numbers. We're going to get a Q&V, but I truly believe his numbers. And I believe that he believes his numbers, but he doesn't know why. Why are his profit margins so high? So I don't think it's just about managing your numbers. I think it's about managing, having the right people again in the right seats, making sure you're working on the business, not in it. Product, making sure you have the right congruent revenue streams in place so you're still getting paid multiple ways. He has three different divisions in his company that he gets paid on. And, you know, making sure that, again, you're in an industry that's thriving, not dying. You continue to market and innovate. And there's processes. You know, a lot of businesses are losing money because they haven't managed their processes. That's the third P. And like you said before, well, you know, we say we're going to get that training manual and we don't get to it. We say we're going to get to this and we don't get to it. We have to get to it, or we have to hire somebody else that can get to it.
Mm-hmm. Because you never know. Like tomorrow you could wake up sick.
Or you could wake up dead.
Or you could wake up dead and then nobody carries on your vision or your business and nobody
can continue. Well, look at what happened to this lady in Dallas. And you set your loved ones up. Like, everybody wants to set their loved ones up for success. You right. want your children to benefit. You want your spouse to benefit. You want, you know, maybe the church, you know, your close family and friends. But you set everybody up for failure when you don't plan.
Mm. Michelle, I almost forgot. Where could we find you? Where can we ask you questions? Where can we read some of your content? What are the best social platforms to connect with you on?
Sure. Yeah, that's okay. You and I got so caught up in the conversation. I was so passionate, you could tell. So yes, you can find me many ways. You can find me at SylarTucker.com.
Okay.
If you want all my sites and you want to go take the 6P quiz, you can go to STI@360.com. You can purchase Exit Rich. It's in 99 Hudson bookstores across the country. And we're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of your favorite bookstores. And the Audible version just came out in May. So you can go purchase the Audible version. I think it's still on sale for like $4 for the Audible version. And yeah, connect with me. Also listen to my episode. I have my own podcast called What Else But Exit Rich.
Hey, you're a total rock star, Michelle. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Everyone listening, if you didn't get a chance to catch that, head over to hustleinspireshustle.com/podcast and find the episode with Michelle. Everything will be linked on the show notes. Or if you're listening on one of the streaming platforms on YouTube, go to the show notes, go to the episode description, and you'll be able to find everything right there. All right, y'all, you heard it. This is Alex Quinn, Michelle Seiler-Tucker, author of Exit Rich. Michelle, thank you so much for jumping on. I know I have your book on the way, so I'm going to ask you to please jump on the podcast again once I've read the book so we could talk about the book and so you could elaborate a little bit more on how you're helping people exit rich.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, y'all. See you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuin. See you on the next episode.